It's been a little while since that I've spoken upon the series that we're in during communion, and that is the key words about the cross and key theological words. I want to speak to you this morning about the word justification. Would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Justification. In order to appreciate the word justification, we're going to get a running start at the word. And in studying, I thought it would then be fitting for us to begin at verse 12 of our text. So Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death passed to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through the act of righteousness there resulted the justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to our eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, would you give me the grace over the next few minutes to expound upon a text beyond our human means to comprehend. And may the Holy Spirit enlighten our mind and our hearts to the truth of the Word of God. I pray that the power of Satan might be bound, and that the Word of God might go forth and embed itself into the heart to bring about conviction for salvation where that is necessary, and the edification for the believer where that is so necessary. For we pray it in thy name. Amen. I hope that when you go through your Christian life, that you would, from time to time, stop And just pause for a minute and ask yourself, am I going through the motions or do I really comprehend what's happening? Do I really understand the big picture? Do I wake up on Sunday morning and say, time to go to church, got to do the church thing because, you know, it's Sunday, so here we go. Head on over to Benton Valley Community Church. I've got my reserved parking spot because I parked there and nobody else better park there or I'm mad. The unchristian thing to do. And I've got the pew that I paid for. So don't you dare sit in my pew. You do, I'm going to ask you to leave. Certainly there's more to it than that. And if you want to confuse the pastor, change up your seating. I think I'll have a different congregation. But I want you to go beyond what might seem the normalcy, the mundane, the routine. And I'm going to ask you to do something this morning, and that is think a little bit. Think. Because there is an argumentation going on in this passage of Scripture. An arguing, a rationalization, a putting forth of an understanding about the reality of this life and death in this life. And there are some major, major issues that the apostle is putting forth. And in getting a running start to see the magnitude of justification and how big it is and its nobility. Look at it like somebody, you know, you've got that, you know, when you're in school, school's just out. Do they still have field day at school? And they're little, you know, okay, the broad jump and who? Do they still do broad jump? Okay. Well, if you do the standing broad jump, that's generally a little bit shorter than the person who's doing the running. Right? Running, get that momentum going, and then jump. Bigger! And what we want to do, we don't want to do a standing broad jump when it comes to this word, justification. We want to get our mind just start striding. What's before this big word, justification? I got to look at it, because when I see it and I take that jump, I am going to have a greater, broader appreciation for the word if I can see what precedes it in the text. And the word justification that we find doesn't happen until verse 16 of our text, but we're going to look at verse 12 and we're going to get a running start. So first of all, understand the need for justification. The need for justification. And it doesn't start out real good. Therefore, there are four things. And I want you to see, first of all, the certainty of death. You know that old saying, you know, there's only two things for certain, death and taxes. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world. Right there, that's number one. One thing, man, one man, sin enters into the world. Well, what happened? Guess what? There was death through sin. And then because there was death through sin, something else happened. Death spread to all men. Because all sin. Now, then, if that's not enough, then he just stops and dissects and says, let me tell you what I mean by that. Let me tell you about what those four what those mean. One man, and in case you don't know, go back to your Sunday school days. One man, sin entered into the world. What happened in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17? The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. You can have everything in the garden, but you cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Guess what? There was no bank to rob. there was no lying. There was no other wife to cheat on. I mean, if you wanted to like be rebellious, where do you spray graffiti? Where do you sneak out of the bedroom at night? I mean, the only evil that there was to commit behind anybody's back, put that in quotes, was to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Think you'll see? I don't know. Should we do it at night? Okay. Well, except, you know, it didn't quite happen that way. So you know the story. There's the serpent. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. And she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and what? He ate. It's just a little piece of fruit. You're just taking this little bite from this tree, and you're trying to tell me God's saying, die! What is that? Can you imagine this?
What are you doing in that farmer's field? Picking his cherries? Off with your head!
What? We don't comprehend this. We don't get this. Because we don't understand the magnitude of sin. Adam committed it all in that one act. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Everything was wrapped up in that one act. And when that happened, Adam, your genes are now tainted. You die. And everything that comes out of your loins, guess what? That's going to die. I understand biology. Maybe if you want to really dissect that phrase, but you understand what I'm talking about. You and Eve have a kid, they're going to die. And they're going to have kids, guess what? They're going to die. Everything from now on is tainted. And the Apostle Paul says that through one man, sin entered into the world. And then death passed through that sin, and then it passed to everybody. And now all sin. So this is a question. Verse 13, he pauses and he said, let me really understand how deep I'm trying to make this point and what I'm really trying to say. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And you restart reading that question and you go, what? What? What in the world does that mean? Well, the condition of sin. Oh, well, you got a little preview there. I want you to see the condition of sin. We all sin. And this is huge. Verse 13 and 14. For until the law, sin was in the world, and sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. There is death in this world, and it is a huge issue. Why? Because we all die, and it's because of sin. And one thing was posted on the physics forum, and somebody asked this question, why do we die of old age? It would seem, and this is obviously not from somebody who has a biblical worldview, it would seem that it would be more beneficial for organisms to have evolved so as to live forever. I mean, if life is so intricate, why not, you know, okay, that's kind of causing a problem, that little cell over there, get you out of there. I'm trying to live forever here. Go away. Bad genes. Out. excluding, of course, any trauma. And then you go, what about this? Induced from injuries or being consumed by predators? Well, no, what do we do about that one? And life is so complex, they ask this question, what stopped it from simply acquiring the ability to live forever? And I'm going, it's not evolution. God answers this question. Originally, He created it as good to live forever, and that includes the predator question, that would include the trauma question, that would include all that. And the reason we got so much gone garbage in regards to death in this life, disease, genetic disorders, is because of sin. And then you put the brakes on and you go, whoa, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that there's a God in heaven and says death comes because of sin? I don't know about that. And that's exactly what Charles Darwin struggled with, because his daughter, Anne, died at the age of 10. And this question was huge. And he said, I'd rather settle for it's just the way it is than for a God who says there's death. But you, if you start with the death question, you got to keep reading. Because if you'll never end up with a life question answered, which is where we're going. You don't answer the death question right, you're not going to have the life question answered right in Christ. So stick with me. Hang on till the end. Because this is a long, drawn-out argument, and you got to read this text, and you got to let it soak into that mind. Why is a mouse elderly? Think about this one. Why is a mouse old at the age of 3? But you're old at the age of 90? No offense. You can throw rocks at me later. But I mean, generally speaking, I don't know. Death is the result. Is it the result of simply aging or sin? And the Bible says sin. Now, here's the question. Do I die in regards to sin as it relates to A, either my sinful condition, or because I commit individual sins? I mean, what is it? Is it because, okay, you were born and eventually you told a lie? You were a baby and you're going, ah, ah. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? No, it wasn't that. Need your diaper change? And anything they try to figure it out, you're just crying. And you really were saying, I'm just a selfish little baby and I want to be held. I mean, what is it? Do you? And then God says, oh boy, that was selfishness. Sin! Or, the moment I'm conceived / born, dead. That's the question in this text. This is what Paul's getting at. And so get this question. So he starts explaining it by verse 13. What does he say? Well, sin was here prior to the law of the Ten Commandments, verse 13a. And for until the law, sin was in the world. And sin is not imputed when there is no law. What does that mean? Which state has no speed thing, traffic on the freeway? Isn't there a state like that? Montana. Isn't there? Huh? Montana. Oh, man, bring me to Montana. Woohoo! You know? But you go somebody else where there's a speed law, guess what? If there's a law and you disobey it, it's sin. But if there's no law, I go as fast as I can, and it doesn't matter, so it's not sin. Right? And when he's saying, if there's no law there, it's not wrong. Paul's saying, do you know that there was sin prior to the Ten Commandments? That's what he's saying. There was sin. So, Adam and Eve, they have a son. God says, was there a law? Thou shalt not kill. No, it didn't come till Moses. But guess what happened? He started getting angry. God didn't kill Cain. God didn't kill Cain. But he killed his brother. And he exacted some judgment upon him. Later on, death penalty. More laws. It's getting uglier. It's getting deeper. The pot's getting thicker. But there was still sin in the world. And nevertheless, guess what happened because of sin? Verse 14, death reigned from Adam all the way till Moses, even those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. Were you there when you picked that fruit off the tree? That's not a difficult question. Neither were any of those people there when Adam picked the fruit. They weren't there. Now nobody was even born yet. And you mean to tell me because some guy way back when picked a piece of fruit off of a tree, I'm dying? You're nuts. This is huge. And you go, what is a teenager response to a statement when you hear something like that? That's not... That's the objection. That's not fair. But you can't see the bigness of justification if you don't start there. Of how noble and how majestic what thing that God has done for us through Christ. This, the connection to Adam is hard for us to grasp because we are in the United States of America. Still. Maybe I'm going to get a little political, but socialists bite my tongue. But we still believe in what? The individual. Freedom. It doesn't matter what family you're born in. Come to America. Pursue the dream. Individual freedom. That's what America's about. And you're trying to tell me I'm connected to Adam and I die? I don't think so. That's just causing my American mind to go bonkers. I don't get it. Be born in India, where you belong to a certain society and caste. Oh, I don't have any problem understanding that. I get that right away. Yeah, okay. I'm connected to Adam. All right, I'll take that. You got to get over that hurdle in your mind because you are connected to Adam. And you will die because he took the piece of that fruit. That being said, the closest thing that I might be able to understand it in this, in our mind, is you are very hungry and you decide to rob a bank. And so all you're doing is just, you know, going to the teller and you're holding the bag. Meanwhile, your buddy's in there. All right, it's a hole. I'm done. You put that money in the bag. And all you thought, I just, I just got to get some food. I'm kind of hungry this week, and you're a little shy about it, but you got some bad friends. But there's that security guy, and he starts moving. Maybe he's laying down, but he starts, and your friend sees him, and pretty soon, bam! He's all wired, and next thing you know, he fires that gun, and he kills that guy. Say, all I was doing was hold the bag. What can you be charged with? Yeah, it happened when you were there. We get that. Okay? We get that connection. And I'm saying spiritually, God says there is the connection to Adam. This is key to understanding justification. There is that connection to Adam and you will die. And it's not just talking about death and nothingness. There is condemnation. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who was the type of him who was to come. Verse 15. But, and now this is, you got to understand this. But, that's all previous stuff. But, the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression, and now notice the comparison, he says, but do you understand that the free gift is not like the thing, what Adam did? It's different. But there's a connection. And I want you to understand how different it is. It's not like that, but there's still a connection. The free gift is not like the transgression, and let me explain it this way, Paul's saying, for if by the transgression of the one many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like, verse 16, it's not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from the one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from the many transgressions resulting in justification. And it looks like this. Verse 15, Adam's sin was so minute, but boy, did it have grave consequences. But it was just a small thing. It was just a small thing. But do you understand the greatness of the free gift of grace that abounds to all? Adam's over here just committing this. It's huge. It's all the sin, but it's small in comparison to the greatness of God in the sending of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, to do that work, and then He says, here's a free gift. I paid it all. That's huge in comparison to the Adam over here. This is like a little ant, and over here is a big, huge elephant. What Jesus did. And so even though many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And it just goes out and spreads freely. Verse 16. The gift is not like that which came through one man who sinned. For on the one hand, judgment arose in one transgression. Think about this a minute. One sin, one transgression, judgment. And now we come over here. And I don't die just because I committed a bunch of sins. I die because I'm born a sinner. I'm condemned. My default position is condemned already because I do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then on top of that, guess what happens? Then I sin. Oh man. And then I sin again. Oh no. And it's more sin and more sin and more sin. Because you got all these laws. And I can't do it. And verse 15 says, much more. The gift is not like that which came through one who sinned, because it's only on the one hand, judgment only arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But don't you see the free gift that arose from many transgressions resulting in, and here's the word, justification. One little thing over here, and then over here, sinners committing sin after sin after sin, and God says, justified, 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 justified. And you say, well, Pastor, what does that word justified mean? And I say, well, the gift arose from many to justification. I'm glad to ask. It is the legal act of God. Two things. He thinks of our sins forgiven. That's negative. Forgiveness is the negative. I forgive you. Justification is the positive. Christ's righteousness belongs to us. He declares us righteous in His sight. Forgiveness, negative, that's the negative. Okay, get rid of this sin, sweep it out the door, but I still got a problem. I need to be say, you are morally right in my sight. Righteous. And that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. In His whole life. And through Christ, through the one man, many are made righteous. See, if you don't get the running start, you do not appreciate the magnitude of that word, justification. You got to get the running start. You understand the running start? And the word justification becomes huge. And God says, I declare you morally right in my eyes, and you are righteous. Now get this. How many of you are human this morning? I'm just trying to wake you up. If you're human, you're an Adam, and you will die. You get that? That is concrete. Right? Same thing. In Jesus Christ, you are justified. Same degree and concept of concreteness. You stand on that word. In Him you are justified. You're a liar? Justified. You looked on a woman, adulterer? Justified. You stole from your employer? Justified. You are morally right in my sight because of what Jesus Christ has done. It is in Him. See how big that word is? That's huge. And so, verse 17. For if by the transgression of one death reigned through one, much more those who, what's the word? Tell me. What's the word? Receive. Key word. Don't let that go. Only those who receive. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through the one, and the reason why receive is key is because of this next verse. So then, as through the one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through the one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. You read verse 18 without verse 17, you're going to say, well, everybody's going to die. Guess what? You come over here, I don't think God's going to send anybody to hell. Hey, everybody's going to be justified. Don't do that. There's a language thing going on here. I know that wasn't real profound, but what is that? If I say, are we all here this morning? Mind and body? Well, I'm not talking about that. Am I talking about members? Non-members? Everybody who usually comes? Everybody who shows up once a year at Easter? I mean, what is all? And even if we had all the members and everybody who came here in the last 20 years, and I said, are we all here? Somebody might go, yeah, but then Dwayne Neeson would say, no, not the people in China. That's not all. See, so what's all? All is those who have received the abundance of grace. How do I receive it? And we started in the middle of a majestic book, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by what? Faith. You want to add to that with your church membership when Jesus Christ did it all, when that's the connection? Yeah, I'm justified in Christ and all that Jesus Christ has done for me.
Well, I'm going to be baptized too.
What?
I'm going to be a church member too.
That doesn't add anything. That's like having an inferno wildfire in L.A. and you're going, I'll just put this little drop of water on there and try to put it out. Baptism? No. Church membership? No. All Christ and what He's done. Through one man. And so, justification is a free gift received through faith. Who are you depending upon to get you to heaven? Has God done a work in your heart, and are you going through a hope-so kind of life? Or are you totally dependent upon Jesus? That's why He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. Period. End of sentence.
But, and here's the connection. But I'm a Charles Darwin. I don't believe there could be a God that could bring about this death.
You throw that away, guess what you just threw away? The connection to the cross. You gotta have it all. Because God is also the God who provided the abundance of His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. It is a divine work of God. It is something that He does. Verse 15, it is the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ. And what I want you to go away with is that third point. The whole thing. You know what? You come to Him by faith and it's yours. Do you understand that? Can you wrap your head around that word justification? And God looks at you and says, because of Jesus, you are morally right before me. I'm justified. I don't know what his eye diffused a quickening ray, but guess what? My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose. I went forth. And I followed thee. Justified. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning, and for the first time, you're saying, I realize now that it's not going to be based upon my goodness. That it's not going to be based upon any, what in my mind would be conceived a righteous act, but only upon Jesus. Have you cast yourself upon Him? Has God worked in your heart in such a way that you can say it is only through Him? And are you calling upon Him like you never have before? And have you either A, received Him, or right now you see the need to receive Him? Believer, what shall we then say? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? God forbid, may it never be. How shall we who are dead to sin still live in it? Stop. Don't come to the communion table and have unconfessed sin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, would You seal the message in our heart through Thy Holy Spirit? For we pray it in Thy name. Amen.